Welcome to this sermon by Dr. Bruce Martin, pastor of Village Baptist Church in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Now let's prepare our hearts as we listen to what God would have us learn today.
Jesus didn't call us to be quitters. And Jesus didn't call us to be survivors. But Jesus did call us to be conquerors. When you look at the teachings of Jesus, when you look at His life, He constantly challenged people to personal conquest. Think about the rich young ruler. Buddy, you got to conquer your problem with money. Sell all and follow me. Think about Martha, workaholic. Martha, you got to conquer that thing, girl. Think about Nicodemus and his religion. He was very religious. He said, you must be born again. Think about his teaching on personal conquest. There was the brother of the prodigal son. Buddy, you got to conquer your unforgiveness. You can't get in the house. Think about his teaching of the rich farmer and his greed. It cost him heaven. Think about his teaching on the parable of the talents. One man couldn't conquer his fear. Look at what he lost. He buried his talent. Jesus constantly called people and challenged people to personal conquest. We're not hearing that these days. Now let's learn an important lesson in this room today. Every person in this room has a giant that you have to conquer. There's not a person in this place who doesn't have a giant in your life that He's calling you to conquer. Remember the story of the little boy who mom was cooking supper. She said, son, I need a can of tomato juice. Go downstairs in the basement pantry and give me some tomato juice. He said, I'm scared of that basement. She said, it's okay. Jesus will be down there with you. He opened the door and yelled down in the basement, Jesus, if you're down there, would you hand me a can of tomato juice, please? We all have things to conquer. I love the story of the first day of Little League Baseball. Coach called all the Little Leaguers up to the first base plate. There on first base, he said, now boys, I want you to understand something. And girls, I want you to understand something. We don't throw dirt on the umpire. We don't cuss the umpire. We don't yell and complain and throw temper tantrums. Do you understand? And all the little children said, yes, sir, we understand. He said, good. Go up into your stands and explain it to your parents. If you've ever been to baseball, Little League, you understand. It's the parents that are the problem. We all have things that we have to conquer. Now, as I look at the Bible, there are three categories of giants that we have to conquer. Reading through the Scriptures, I think we can categorize them three giants. Number one, there's the giant of sin. Number two, there's the giant of fear. And third, there's the giant of unbelief. We have to conquer the giant of sin. He said to the woman in adultery, go and sin no more. We're living in a day when people are surrendering to sin. They're not conquering sin. We're living in a day where people are redefining sin. They're not defying sin. He didn't tell us to redefine it. And He didn't tell us to surrender to it. He told us to be conquerors over it. Go and sin no more. The second area is fear. The disciples were afraid on that boat, and Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? He said, fear not. But I love that scripture in Isaiah, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Some of you are not afraid of bullets in Afghanistan, but you're afraid to walk down this aisle and get in those baptismal waters and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's all kinds of fear. Just because you can face a bullet doesn't mean you're fearless. The real test of manhood is not what you do in war, but what you do with Jesus Christ. Third is unbelief. Thomas said, I won't believe till I see his hands and his side. Jesus said, okay, look right here. He had to overcome that unbelief, and he said, my Lord and my God. That's the kind of moment that he expects in everybody's life. Until you have a moment like that, you'll never be more than a conqueror. Paul said in Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Well, so the question is, how do I do that? I want to give you today six essentials to how to be more than a conqueror. Somebody said there's two kinds of people in the world. Those who get up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord. And those who get up in the morning and say, good Lord, it's morning. Some of you are the latter part. And you need to say, good morning, Lord. How do I conquer what's going on and live victoriously in Jesus Christ? A great story of that is John chapter 5. Jesus is telling us, is encountering a man by the pool. Now let's look at what it says here. It says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic means Bethesda. And which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water stirred while I'm trying to get in. Someone else tries to get down ahead of me. Now, other translations go ahead and add that there was a tradition that when the water is ruffled, it's an angel that does it and the first one in the pool gets healed. That's why he said that. Nobody's there to help me. Jesus said, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. And the day on which this took place was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it's the Sabbath. The Lord forbids you to carry your mat. And he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple. Said to him, see, you're well again. Stop sinning. Now notice that. Stop sinning. Or something worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Six essentials that I see in that scripture for being a conqueror. He had to conquer 38 years. And some of you here have things that are in your life, 38 years, you hadn't conquered yet. Something happened in your past, something that you did in your past, and you need to be more than a conqueror. You say, Pastor, how do I do it? Write down six words. Word number one, write down the word reality. Reality. First thing you've got to do is have a reality check. You see, Jesus sees the man, finds out his condition, and says, do you really want to get well? I bet that man had never been asked that question. What do you mean? How dare you say that to me? Do I really want to get well? Well, reality check, do you? Sometimes we need to face some reality and be truthful with ourselves. Some great Christian psychiatrists that you may have heard of are Minerth Meyer. They wrote books years ago from the Minerth Meyer clinics on... One was the secret of happiness. Now, these are psychiatrists who are Christians. I know you think that's an impossibility, but it's not. Christian psychiatrists. And in that book, The Secret of Happiness, the Minerth Meyer doctor said this. Anytime we see somebody who says, I can't, we realize that that is just an excuse for saying, I won't. When somebody says, I can't put up with that man anymore, they're really saying, I won't. When they're saying, I can't live with that woman anymore, they're really saying, I won't. When they're saying, I can't discipline my children, they're saying, I won't. And they say that we really don't get healing in anybody's life until they can first say, yes, I can, and yes, I will. You've got to face some reality. And some of you, there's some things that are crippling your life. You're saying, well, I can't get over this giant. It is too big in my life, and I'm surrendering to it. I'm just going to have to learn to live with it. Don't say, I can't. Say, I will, and I can. It was Zig Ziglar years ago. He said he was putting on weight. He looked in the mirror one day, and Zig said, I was gaining weight, so I decided to lose weight. He said, here's my diet plan. I got a picture of a thin man and put it on the refrigerator. And he said, every time I went to that refrigerator, I saw that thin man and said, oops, I want to be that man. And he said, I lost weight. Did I tell you about the guy in Vietnam War? Back in those war, everybody was drafted in the army, and you had to go see if you were physically able to go in the army. And one man didn't want to go, so he knew that he would be turned down for the draft if he pulled all his teeth. So he pulled all his teeth. He went in for his checkup exam, and they turned him down for flat feet. It's going to cost you. Do you really want your giant to die? You see, I see a lot of people whose giant is their best friend, whose giant is their comforter, whose giant is their consolation. Oh, I need this bottle. Oh, I need this lie. Do you really want to get rid of that giant? Face some reality. Number two, write down the word refuse. Refuse your excuses. Notice this man immediately came up with excuses. Do you want to get well? Well, he didn't say yes or no, did he? He said, well, there's nobody to help me in the water. I've just been laying here 38 years. Listen, if I'd been there 38 years, I'd be sitting on the edge of the water. I'd fall into that water. He had all kinds of excuses. We are an excuse-oriented society. And we have been since Adam. Don't you like what Adam, why'd you disobey me? Well, that woman you gave me. We've been blaming women ever since, haven't we, guys? You know, it hurt enough you took my rib out. Now, look what you made me do. The one I really like in the Bible is Moses and Aaron. Have you ever catch Moses and Aaron? Moses comes down from the mountain. They're worshiping the golden idol, the calf god. Moses said, how in the world could you do that? He said, well, we took our rings off and we threw them in the fire and out it came. Oh, please. My son said that to me. I'd say, go to your room for lying, son. We've got our excuses, don't we? Well, I'll stop drinking when she stops nagging. I'll make better grades when my teacher is nicer. I'll come to church when that preacher stops preaching about sin. Well, brother, you're not coming to this church. You know, we've got our excuses, don't we? And listen, we don't follow excuses, we follow Jesus Christ. He gave him what he had to follow to slay his giant. Now, are you going to hide behind excuses, or are you going to follow Jesus? He refused his excuses when he picked up that mat. No longer will I live behind excuses. Number three, write down the word refocus. If you're going to slay your giants, you're going to have to refocus your life. You see, prior to this, he'd been focused on what? On the water and on his limitations. Oh, I can't. You see, his focus is on what he couldn't do. Focused on his limitations. Focused on himself. But when Jesus stood over him, I imagine that he turned and looked at Jesus, and his focus changed from the water to Jesus Christ. Some of you need to change the focus of your life. Did I tell you about the woodpecker? One day the woodpecker was pecking away at a tree in the woods when suddenly a lightning bolt hit it and the tree exploded. He flew away, got all his friends, came back and said, "Look what I did." You see, if we do it, who gets the credit? Is it going to be you or is it going to be Jesus? If it's going to be you, Jesus ain't going to give you the power to get over it. It's got to be Jesus. My focus is on Jesus Christ with my life. Change your focus. And some of you, your focus is not on Jesus. I want my life to glorify Him. Listen, our focus as a church is to glorify Jesus Christ. Amen? Change your focus. Number four, he received. Receive a word from God. Look at verse 8. Jesus said, "Take up your mat and walk." Now, he had to receive that word, didn't he? I believe that word. I'm going to act on that word. And you've got to decide whether you're going to believe the word of God or not. Now, let me ask you a question. What didn't Jesus say? Well, that's a tough one. Take up your mat and walk is the word he gave him. But what didn't he say? Now, didn't is a North Carolina word. If you're not from here, didn't means did not. What didn't he say? Y'all going to have to learn English if you come to Fayetteville. Tar. It's that thing, round thing on your car, your tar. Okay, y'all got it? All right. What didn't Jesus say? You know what he didn't say? "Pretty please. Take up your mat and walk. Pretty please." And some of you want a pretty please Jesus. Now, Jesus, now don't offend me. You treat me right. I want a pretty please Jesus. Jesus didn't tell him pretty please. He said, "Take up your mat and walk." He's not going to beg you. He's not going to twist your arm. If you want it, do it. If you want to go to heaven, give your life to Christ. He's spoken through His Word. In the last days, He has spoken through His Son. And so, you've got to decide. Are you going to receive that word or not? Years ago, I had a man in my church who I witnessed to and witnessed to and witnessed to. He would not give his life to Christ. Poor guy, he's the only lost person I knew. I about wore him out. One Sunday morning, his little boy walked down the aisle, Chipper. He said, "Pastor, I want to give my life to Christ." And that day, Willard Barnett walked down that aisle. All my talk had done really not moved him, but when he saw his son was going to heaven, he said, "I want to go too." And we baptized him. He became a deacon and a leader in that church because it was time to receive the word. Some of you, it's time to start acting on the word, not later, but right now. Receive the word. Jesus has a word for your giant that'll kill it. And that is his lordship. Here's the fifth thing that he did. Repel. Write down the word repel. You've got to repel opposition. Because you see there in verse 11, that as soon as he does what Jesus says, opposition shows up. What are you doing carrying that mat, boy? What do you think you're doing? This is Sunday, and this is Bible Belt of North Carolina. How dare you carry a mat on Sunday? What are you doing? You're coming to church out of town. They must be lost over there at Village Baptist Church. They don't have town. But listen, there's going to be opposition. Soon as you do what Jesus says, Satan's going to rise up and test to see how committed you are to God's plan. Opposition, right? That's what I like about this story. Is he immediately, did he go through a faith training class to witness? No, sir. All he did was tell him what Jesus did. Listen, guy came up and said, take up your mat. And I believed him. I got up and walked. I don't know who he is, but I'm walking. Tell your story. Because this, if when your giant falls, it's time for you to stand up. When your giant falls, it's time for you to stand up and start telling what a great God killed your giant. Amen? That's when you stand up and you testify to the living God. And that's what he did right then. He began to share Christ. And so he repelled the opposition. But we're not done yet. Look at verse 14. You've got to reinforce what Jesus did. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, Jesus comes back to him and tells him, explains then who he is. He's reinforcing his faith. Jesus is not going to leave you alone. He's not just going to help you kill your giant and walk away. He comes back. Now, I want you to write something down for your refrigerator door. This is for the refrigerator door. You ready? Here's today's note for the refrigerator door. Light keeps darkness from doing its dirty work. Think about that for a moment. Light keeps darkness from doing its dirty work. And as long as light shining, darkness can't do its dirty work. Amen? Because darkness won't work unless the light's not shining. What's that motel? I'll leave the light on for you. Well, listen. We have God as God's people. He gives us light. That's what he gave him with that word. He acted on the light, yes. But he came back and he refueled that light. That's called Sunday school. That's called Bible study. Jesus said, don't let your oil go out of your lamps. And what happens is he'll give us light and we let the light go out. We've got to keep fueling the light of Jesus Christ with worship, with praise, with fellowship, with the Word, with devotions and discipline. And we have to keep fueling the light. And so Jesus comes back and regenerates the light. Now let's put all six back up there again and look at them. Six things, six essentials. If you want to be a conqueror, face some reality. Refuse your excuses. Refocus on Jesus. Receive His Word. Repel opposition. Reinforce what He's done in your life. And that's what this guy did. But look at number one again. Reality. We've got to go back and revisit number one again. What reality did this man face? He had to face the reality that the one who was speaking to him as he was lying on that mat that day, the man that was up there speaking was no ordinary man. That the man that was speaking was not just a guy saying, get up, like a joke. But the man was somebody who could say, get up and mean it. Because he was the Son of God. The God who created him and now was forgiving him of his sin. Who's going to say, go and don't you sin anymore. But the God who says, this is my Son. Listen to him. And this man listened to the Son of God. And what he wants you to embrace is not just his word, but his person. He had to accept that person is Jesus Christ, God's Son. And if you don't face that reality, you don't overcome anything. It's facing of that reality first that changes our lives. He's the Son of God. He died for your sins. He rose again. Therefore, you need to accept Him. And accept not just what He says, but who He is. In verse 14, that's exactly what this man did. He accepted it. God wants us walking in victory. I'm reminded of the story of the great preacher E. Stanley Jones. He said when he was called to preach pastor said, okay, time for you to preach. I'm going to let you preach next Sunday morning. Could you imagine? He said that his first sermon, he was scared to death. His heart was racing. Now, they had one of those pulpits. They wore robes. They had pulpits. You climb up in the pulpit. He said, I climbed up in the pulpit. Went up those steps. He stood there. I stood there and looked out of that bunch. They were even prettier than this bunch. And so I looked out. And he said, my mind went blank. He said, I couldn't remember anything. He said, there was silence. And he said, I just stood there and looked at him. He said, I got so embarrassed, I decided I'd come down. So he said, he's coming down the steps. A little girl giggled. And it was like a bolt of lightning in his spirit. He said, I got so angry. He said, I turned around, went back in that pulpit and started preaching. He preached the rest of his life with the anointing and the fire of God because there was one trigger event that changed his life. And I'll tell you something. There's a trigger event that could change your life. This man heard the word of God. It was a trigger event that changed him forever. He got up and killed that giant, and he began to walk, and he began to testify, and he began to live the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And maybe this message is your trigger event. And you need to come to this altar, and you need to say, Lord Jesus, I receive you. I receive your word. I reject all opposition. I refuse all excuses. I give my life to Jesus Christ. Would you do that today? Maybe, Christian, you got a giant in your life. You need to come and nail him to the cross right here and get up and start living, reinforcing your commitment to die to that giant and be alive to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you do that today? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for opening your word to us today. God, you didn't call us to be quitters. You didn't call us to be survivors. You called us to be conquerors. And then Paul added the word more than conquerors, through Jesus Christ. It's not a technique. It's a surrender to His Lordship. There are some here today. The very place where the giant has taken over, it's where you're not Lord yet. And I pray for Christians, for those areas where you are not Lord. May you come today. May this be the day, the trigger event, where you come, slay that giant for them. But maybe there's somebody who hasn't faced the reality of who Jesus is. And this is a trigger event for them to overcome their fear and to finally walk this aisle and accept Jesus as their personal Savior. And if you're here today, He's spoken to your heart. You've never gone into those baptismal waters. You've never prayed and asked Him to be Lord of your life. Today's the day. Take up your mat and walk. I'm not going to say pretty please. I'm not going to beg you. Just as Jesus said, do it. Time for you to do it. Right where you are, would you just say, dear God, I give my life to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. I confess that I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I acknowledge that He is Lord, that He died for me, that He rose again, and I give my life to Jesus Christ. Come and save me now. Make me yours. Live in my heart. Cleanse me. Forgive me. Conquer this sin in me as I now give my life to Jesus Christ. In His name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Village Baptist Church. If you would like to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do so right now. Simply bow your head right where you are. Ask Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and become the Lord of your life. Please do this today. None of us are promised tomorrow. We would love to hear about any stories, decisions, or feedback that you would like to share with us. We trust that you have been blessed today and hope that you will join us again for our next service at Village Baptist Church.